What a fantastic crowd we have this morning. We're so grateful for all of our visitors that are here. We're thankful that you have chosen to come and worship with us here at the Bel Air Church of Christ. This morning, I would like to discuss together some of the things that I have been studying personally as it relates to God's grace in our lives. This is a very important passage that we're going to deal with today, several passages. Important to me as I try to frame my life in His reflection. Tonight I'm going to speak from Mark chapter 5 at another congregation. And it ties in very well with the thoughts here that we'll talk about this morning. Thank you again for the honor to speak to you from the Word of God. We learn, as it relates to God's grace, the value of the church. I have noticed that people who misunderstand or undervalue God's grace also do not place a high value on the church. For example, those who are self-reliant, those who are not in touch with their own sinfulness, they have a difficult time looking in the mirror. They rarely see their need for the church. Well, I'm good. What did I ever do to anybody? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm okay with the big guy upstairs. These people don't see their own sinfulness. And because of that, they don't have a lot of need for the church. I've been in that person's shoes. And if you think about it, the product of grace is the church. God's grace worked through Jesus Christ, our Savior, to produce what, ladies and gentlemen? To produce the church. The most valuable thing that's in this world is found in Acts chapter 20. In that section there, verses 28 through around 32, where Scripture says the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Christ, who is grace personified, wouldn't you agree? Christ, who is grace personified, said, I will build my church. The church built by Christ, the church built by grace. Jesus did not build, ladies and gentlemen, our church, my church, Daniel's church. He didn't build the church. He built His church. We must understand that. The body is His. The church is His. He died for it. It belongs to Him. And it is valuable because it is His. The church is where our works of grace and experience of grace is carried out. I'm just getting it, folks. It's beginning to come clear to me. After 35 years or more of preaching the gospel of Christ, I think it's clearing up. I'm getting it. I would not have learned of grace from watching a show about the national parks in America. I would not have gotten to know about grace from reading the great books that were written in this world throughout time, or if I'd seen every movie that was ever produced and made, none of these things would have taught me about God's grace. Only the preaching of the gospel in the church, only the preaching of the gospel of God's people taught me about grace. And the more that I understand the depth and the width and the meaning of God's grace, the more I value what His grace is all about. The more I understand the goal of grace, the ultimate goal of grace, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you what it is. It is His body. It is the church. It's you. And it's me. I am very frustrated when I hear people say, well, I don't need the church. Me and God, we're good. We're good. Someone who says that they don't need the church does not understand God's grace, because God's grace built the church. The church is the proficiency of grace. In this lost world that we occupy, it is the proficiency of grace. If you want to experience God's grace in this lost world, then live out your life active in the body of Christ. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on His people. Serve the church. Give to the church. Sacrifice for the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. Forgive those who have offended you in the church. Forgive them. Teach somebody in the church. Get back there in those classrooms and teach our children. Let me tell you something. We got children running around all over the place up in here. And let me tell you, it didn't used to be that way, did it, Mike? When I walked in those doors almost 15 years ago, this place was deader than a doornail. And I'm sorry, but that was just the case. We were a bunch of old people. Because everybody else left, I guess. They all moved to the suburbs. Not now. Thanks be to God, not now. This is a vibrant congregation, a vibrant body. And we have opportunity back there in the back. You guys ought to be running to the board which houses the different classes so you can get your name up there. What a fantastic opportunity. Teach somebody in the church. Teach somebody. If you do these things, you'll learn about grace. How else do we learn about grace? We learn how to please God. Now, in the last words of his epistle, the Apostle Peter finishes with one last exhortation to the church. And what is that, ladies and gentlemen? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. But grow in the grace. Well, how do you grow in the grace? Let's look at Peter's final words to the church. Peter does not say, based on what I can see, do more, work longer, try harder. That's not what he's saying here, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't say this. He could have, but he didn't. And why? Because output creates religious pride when we only focus on that. I hope you understand what I just said. Activity in the absence of grace, it causes one to compare oneself to other folks. Okay? And that's a problem. Activity alone is never satisfying because there's always more that you can do. The person I feel sorry for in the world is the one who is a perfectionist but does not know Christ. They are never satisfied. It's never good enough for them. And they never, ever please themselves or someone else. They can't get good with something. They always see what could be better, but they have no sense of grace. I don't want that life. I don't want that. I feel sorry for that person. Peter does not say focus only on yourself. You know, I hear people a lot of times talking about I'm searching for the real me. You're searching for the real you. The inner self without Jesus Christ is futile. I'll tell you, it is futile. It is worthless. Because all you're going to find if you search for yourself without Christ is one thing, an imperfect, sinful being. That's what you're going to find. That's it. You want to find out who you really are? I had one fellow tell me, he says, well, what you need to do, Steve, is walk across the United States. Walk across the United States or hike the Appalachian Trail. Now, I'd like to hike the Appalachian Trail, but that I'm telling you something. That'd be tough. Do whatever you want to find out who you are without Christ. You're going to find out who you are. You don't have to go up the Appalachian Trail to figure it out. You don't have to cross the United States to figure it out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you what, you are imperfect. And so am I. Peter didn't say do more, work longer, try harder, focus only on yourself. Peter didn't say judge yourself because judging includes a measurement. How will we measure ourselves? What would be good enough to pass the test? There can be no perfect 10 score, I guess, if you rated it that way. Scripture teaches us that. No knowledge is perfect. No repentance is perfect. It's always in part to judge ourselves, to judge yourself. You will always be found guilty. Where do you go from there? What does Peter say? What does he say? He says, grow in grace. You want to grow in something? Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge and experience of God's grace. In other words, realize and understand how much it is that God loves you. You contemplate that. You think about it. You read the scripture about it. You look around you, ladies and gentlemen. In other words, realize He cares for us. Look at what He's done. I think if there's one mistake we make as Christians, I believe this. I believe we underestimate God's love. I was talking to David Holder about this, and he said, you know, Steve, he said, I learned the gospel. I learned thus saith the Lord from the more conservative brethren. He said, but I learned how to love from the more progressive brethren. In my experience in counseling fellow Christians who are having spiritual difficulties, their problem is never that they overestimate God's love. That's never the problem. The problem is we underestimate his love. We say things like, well, how could God forgive me for that? I've said that before. Or how could God be patient enough with me when I've once again done the very thing that I said that I would never do? Or why would God bless me if I continue to fall in the area where I so badly wanted to succeed spiritually? We need to see the power of grace. You know what Romans chapter 8, verse 1 teaches us? You ought to underline this and put it on your refrigerator. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You contemplate that. Peter says, you grow in that. Understand, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Dwell on these things. Rejoice in it. Rely on it. Don't be afraid. Be confident in death. Don't be afraid of anyone or anything. Don't allow anyone to take that knowledge and that confidence away from you, ladies and gentlemen, the body of Christ. Peter says, grow in grace. He says, grow in the knowledge of grace. Not just grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of grace. People are hungry for the power of God's grace in their life. I believe that. I was. I grew up in the church. And for many, many, many years of my life, I was hungry to understand what God's grace was I heard so much about and how it could give me power in the Lord. I'll tell you, you want to teach somebody about something, you teach them about this gift. You teach them about the gift of grace that is provided from God Almighty. Oh, dear, here we go. I've got to go talk to somebody about Jesus. I've got to go evangelize. It's not about talking to somebody about Jesus. It's about lifting the burden of guilt off of somebody's shoulder and giving them hope. And you know where hope is found? It's found in Christ. You start talking about God's grace, and that leads you straight to Jesus Christ. It can lead you to no one else. Because there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you talk to someone long enough, honestly enough, and you begin to be really their friend, they're eventually going to get around to the idea that I'm not a good person. How many people have I talked to who said, there's no point in me coming to church? God gave up on me a long time ago. He didn't want me there. I'm too bad. I'm a thief. I was a thief. Now I'm out of prison. I left my wife. I left my children. I abandoned my children. How could God love me? How's that possible? Well, we've got good news for those people, don't we? And look, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just about being baptized into Christ, okay? I want to be sure you understand that. Absolutely, we must obey the gospel. Without question. But friend, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And they'll say, well, how can that possibly be, Steve? I couldn't forgive somebody for the stuff that I did. Yeah, but you don't know my Jesus. You don't know God. You don't know his grace. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you about his mercy and his love and what he did from the foundation of the earth. That is preaching the gospel. Grow in the ability to administer the gospel of grace, and Church of Christ, listen to me. Listen to me. Learn to grow in the ability to administer the gospel of grace, not the gospel of law. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. You want to learn about grace? Do not merely grow in the knowledge of Christ, but grow, I would say it this way, grow in the dependence on Christ. When we say, I know Jesus, that's not, I just know about all the doctrines. I know Jesus means I depend on Jesus. I depend on him every day. He is with me every day. He walks with me every day. I know him. It's the opposite of what we strive for in the world. Don't you understand? That bleeds over into the church. That's not what we strive for in the world. In the world, what we strive for is to be independent. I want to have enough money to where I don't have to worry about anything or anybody because I don't need anybody, right? I want to have enough money so that I can function and have medical insurance and get what I want after I retire. Now, you have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of your family, men. But in Christ, I think it's the complete opposite of that. The more mature that I become in Christ, the more I depend on him and the less I depend on me. Now for me, ladies and gentlemen, with my personality and with who I am, that is a very difficult statement for me to accept. But I better. Real growth takes place when we rely on the Lord and his grace more and more, and not just know doctrines and the facts about Jesus. I'm saying, listen to me, you do need to know doctrine. You do need to know facts about Jesus. But what I am suggesting to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that you actually know him. He is your brother. Do you see him that way? Really, can you be honest with yourself? Do you see him that way? Do you have a brother? Do you have a sister? I'm learning as I grow older that depending on Jesus is not only a lesson point in a sermon. Because I've used it before, right? It's a daily reality. It's a reality that I need to frame in my mind. His grace is steady. It's reliable. It's unchanging. It's consistent. And every time I do what I don't want to do and what I've done and said I won't do again, his grace is there to forgive me when I repent. Always. He's steady. Unchanging, and for me, unfathomable. Even if my service is declining and my strength is declining, and those of you that are getting older understand that. Even if my ability is declining, his grace always remains stable. It always remains steady. It always remains obvious, and it's clearly seen. Grace teaches us to please God. God wants a sincere relationship with someone who appreciates him. And I'll tell you, here's the deal. Someone who depends on him, really depends on him. Do you really cast your cares and burdens on the Lord? Do you really do that? I'm just asking. Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't do that very well. God wants a sincere relationship with us, not a slave who's afraid of him. No, knowing God's grace, it helps us do that. Let me be clear, because I don't want to confuse anybody. Our faith is expressed in repentance and baptism, and that puts us into Christ, where these blessings of grace are found. Don't be confused. Scripture says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus." Do not be confused. You may know Christ, but unless you've been buried with him in baptism, you don't have access to his grace. And that's where you need to be. You need that. You can't survive without that if you don't have access to his grace and all that it can produce in you and all that it can teach you. And so I encourage you to stop putting that off. Become a part of his church, his body. Experience his grace. You don't deserve it. It's certainly unmerited. But it's a favor and a love and a mercy that will provide solace for your soul, for your mind, for your ability to live on this earth happy, see, and content. And so I encourage you, stop putting it off. Obey the gospel of Christ. Today is the day, because in obeying the gospel of Christ, it opens your life to the family of God. It opens your life to the assurity of heaven. If you're steadfast and unmovable, and you abound in faith, and you love him, and you serve him, and you serve others. And there's a lot of comfort in that, isn't it? So if you're subject to this invitation of grace, won't you turn this with me? Oh, thou, thou, thou.